Thanks for joining us today at Springwell Church, where we want to draw spiritually thirsty people to Jesus by loving God, loving each other, and loving the world. We hope that today's message builds you up, gives you a little insight, and helps you find a brand new perspective. You can find us in Taylor, South Carolina, and online at springwell.org. That's springwell.org. Now let's jump into the message.
And I don't know what's got you all anxious today. I suppose it could be all the financial pressures that we're facing. I mean, pull up to a gas pump and you want to curse in Jesus' name somehow, kind of. Yeah, I can't say that, 11 o'clock, can I? You kind of do, right? Or the price of eggs, have mercy. Is there a chicken shortage? What happened to eggs? I don't even know. Did all the chickens catch COVID? I don't really keep up with that kind of thing. It could be, you know, kids to raise in the crazy world that we're in, relational issues, health issues, job stress, inflation. Is it even possible to not be anxious in this crazy world that we live in? Is it even possible not to be anxious? I was just kind of waiting on a response. I got nothing from y'all. I mean, you listen to the world, I listen to the news, and the whole world's falling apart, is it not? How many of you even watch the news? Golly, bum. I have no idea what that says about us. I mean, we tried it, didn't we? So we got one person that can kind of tell us and keep us, you know, informed about what's going on. I don't watch the news. It's crazy what you see on the news. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but everybody hates each other. Everybody hates everybody. I mean, they hate each other, you know? So it's not just a racial thing. I mean, we don't like each other. It's crazy, the world that we live in, and it's enough to keep you on edge, I think, just about all the time. In fact, according to a study done in 2019, y'all with me? This is pre-COVID, 2019. 2 out of 3 Americans said that they were anxious or extremely anxious. 2 out of 3. I mean, look at the person beside you right now. One on the right or the left's messed up. Sounds like y'all figured that out really quick over here. 2 out of 3, and that was 2019. That was before the world really did get stupid crazy. And things have just gotten worse. They're not better, they're worse. They're worse. In fact, if you're a high school or college-age student, one study shows that, watch this, 91% of this age group report consistent and significant levels of anxiety associated with stress. And if you're an adult, you're thinking, what are you stressed about, right? That's a lot of us, we really are. We're thinking, what do you get in the real world? It's going to get worse. I'm here to pump you up and excite you. So it just appears that anxiety is one of the most common health issues of our day. So I just want to acknowledge right up front that this is an incredibly complex subject. And I said this last week, I'll probably say it every week because I feel like I need a disclaimer. I am not a doctor. I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express. I'm just kidding. I don't know where this stuff comes from. I mean, it's not in my notes. It's just, whew, Holy Spirit said, say that. I said, okay. I am not an expert, and so really what my prayer is for you today is to get you thinking through, and if you're struggling excessively with anxiety, I just want to tell you, please, 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 in the sweet name of Jesus, seek out some professional help. If you don't know where to go or what to do, call the church office and ask Jonathan. He's in Orangeburg preaching. I can say that. It's safe. He is going to be the expert, and he will make sure that you get the right kind of advice and direction. For some, it is struggling excessively, and that's where you are. You're struggling excessively. But for some, it's not necessarily excessive. It's just life in the real world. Like I said a few minutes ago, it is pulling up to the gas pump and seeing that gas has gone up again. And it's not just that gas has gone up. Come on, are you with me? Then you're starting to formulate an opinion in your mind as to why the gas is going up. And so somewhere somebody told you, because you watched the news or something, that, you know, they're trying to get us all in electric cars, right? And you're thinking, I know why the gas is going up. There's government. They're trying to force us, and that just causes stress. But maybe it's just temporary. You fill the car up with gas, and you move on, and maybe it's no big deal after that. Maybe it's, you know, it's walking in the grocery store and seeing prices, again, go up on food items that you can't quite figure out why. And maybe that causes you some temporary anxiety, but it's not excessive. But for others, it can be excessive, and it can be crushing, and it can be debilitating. In fact, it can affect you physically with shortness of breath. That's a physical response to anxiety. You can feel your heart rate rising. You might feel dizzy. You feel like the walls are closing in, and sometimes that's where people are. You can almost see the look on people's face, you know, when they're in a crowded room, and maybe there's just whatever that's going on in the room, but you can just tell that suddenly people start to get anxious, and really they're looking for an exit. And if you said, "What's wrong?" they don't necessarily even know. You just can't function in a normal capacity. Wherever you are on the spectrum, today, as we kind of talk through and walk through some stuff, I just want to give you some hope and encourage you to follow through. I want to give you some things today that I've applied in my own life. I know they work. I know they work. We're going to be looking at one of Israel's best kings. And I say one of Israel's best kings because if you know anything about Israel, they had a lot of really bad kings, like 19 consecutive really evil kings. But this one was a good one, and we're going to be looking at him and how he dealt with anxiety. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're going to be looking at old Jehoshaphat. That's just fun to say that. I just think we ought to preach on him every now and then just to get to say Jehoshaphat. I like the fat part at the end. Maybe that's the thing I associate with. Anyway, he was the fourth king of Judah in the southern kingdom. And Judah had some enemies that were on the attack. And so you have this godly king who's leading a really good kingdom, and all of a sudden the Moabites, the Amabites, and some of the Meunites are attacking, and worst of all, the mosquito bites are itching. I am so glad you laughed. I've been wanting to say that for weeks. I just couldn't wait. If you don't get anything else, you just want to write that down. That was awesome. So there were three different enemy groups coming at him at one time. And they were joining forces to attack him, to attack Jehoshaphat and the people of his kingdom. And maybe that's the reason that so many of us are battling with anxiety. You can handle one difficult boss, but then you add to a difficult boss and the car breaks down, right? And the car breaks down, which adds a financial pressure, right? It adds financial pressure. You got to figure out how to pay for it. I remember the day when you could go to a mechanic and really you could get something fixed for $50. I remember when it went to $100, we all thought that, you know, Jesus, come quickly. I mean, this is the end of the world. And now I wonder, can you go to a mechanic for less than $500? I mean, can you get brakes done? Anybody? I'm just saying. It's a crazy world that we live in, right? It is. And then maybe you started a diet. Die. So you started a diet and you, we didn't even write that, did we? I mean, that was just right off the cuff right there. So you know what? You started a diet and you go to work and that's the day that the company decides that they're going to buy Krispy Kreme donuts for everybody. And that's what sent you over the edge. It wasn't the boss. It wasn't the car. Maybe a little stress in your marriage. That was the thing right there. And so they said, "Do you want a donut?" And you grabbed the box and said, "I think I will." And then you went into a sugar coma, and it was just way, way, way too much at one time. One thing maybe, but everything all at once. So that's where old Jehoshaphat finds himself, in a place where it's just way, way, way too much. I love this passage. It is so awesome. So like, if you're not accustomed to reading the Bible, you just should read it. There's some great stuff in here. And I love how this starts. This great godly king, verse 3, says this, says Jehoshaphat was, he was terrified by the news, and he begged the Lord for guidance. I just love it. I just love it that he was terrified. There's another translation that says alarmed. I don't like that one, do you? I like it that he was terrified. A godly king, you can't be godly and be terrified all at the same time, can you? Evidently, you can be terrified. And so he ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. Is it just me, or do you think he ordered everyone? Is that just a tad funny? It is to me. Like, if I'm going down, you're going down with me. You know, you're going to pray whether you like it or not, and you're going to fast whether you like it or not. So what was the consequences of not fasting? You don't get any more food? I mean, like, you're already fasting. Anyway. So he ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. Anyway, let me show you his prayer. This is his prayer. He says, Lord, the God of our ancestors. I love this. He's asking God this question, which you got to admit, it's a little funny. Like, how's God going to answer? No. Of course he's going to answer in the affirmative, right? So he literally says, are you not the God who's in heaven? I imagine God said, yeah. You got that right. You roll over all the kingdoms of all the nations. Wow. The power that's packed into just a little bitty verse that, in other words, he's saying, listen, every king that's in power anywhere in the world is there only because you allow it. Y'all with me at all? Then he says this, power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Now, watch his faith. So he's praying, but it's more than just praying. He's got faith. If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before the temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us. And so when you feel anxious, y'all ready? Here's the first point. It's going to be great. When you feel stressed and when you feel overwhelmed and you know what to do, you can pray. Let's try that one more time. You can pray. Boy, that was just weak. But let's be honest, because that's our church, right? It is who we are. So I just wonder right now, how many of you would be honest enough to say, you know what, I tried praying. I did. And you know what, I prayed. And I begged and I pleaded with God. And I got nothing. Anybody, I mean, even willing to raise your hand and say, yeah, I've done that. Okay, we're going to call you out now. I'm just kidding, we're not. I think if we're honest, all of us at some point in time have been there. And if you haven't been there, it's coming. I'm just saying. And you can tell me how faithful you can tell me all those things, but there can be circumstances and situations that will cause us to wonder, is God there at all? We looked at it last week. That's the beauty of God's word. When God tells the truth about his kids, even some of the greatest leaders, some of the greatest heroes of the Bible, they said, God, where in the world are you? I'm before you, and you know what? You don't even acknowledge that I'm here. Pray. So we wonder at times if prayer really can change anything. There was a study that was done by a really, really smart lady by the name of Caroline Leaf, and she wrote a book entitled Switch On Your Brain. And in her research, here's what she discovered. She discovered that it's been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. For all those of you folks that are into, like, science and, you know, technology, I guess I'm the only one. I think that's awesome. 12 minutes a day done consistently of prayer over time can actually change your brain. Prayer can change the chemistry of your brain. I think it's good to know that my brain is not fixed. My brain hadn't been fixed in a long, long time. I'm just saying, I probably should have picked a better word there, right? And it's really, really good news to me because I feel like that my brain gets fixed. It gets focused on the wrong thing way too easily. Am I the only one? Anybody else in the house that can say, you know what? That happens to me too, even when we're praying, right? And so you're praying, you're bringing that need before the Lord, and before you realize it, most of what you're doing is focusing on the negative. You're focusing on what hasn't happened. You're focusing on the prayer that he hasn't answered. You're focusing on what you don't have rather than to focus on what you do have and how God is working in your life. We live in an age where science has actually shown that the brain can change and that we can actually direct that change. There's a fancy term for that. It's called neuroplasticity. And the thought is this. The thought is that the more you think a thought, the more you think a thought, the easier it is for you to think that thought again. And the reason for that is because you're creating millions and billions of neural pathways through your brain. Watch this, because that God can renew. I said can. God can renew and change your brain with his word. He can change your brain with his word, as you focus on his word in prayer. Literally, prayer can change the chemistry of your brain. That ain't set nobody free yet, but hopefully I'm going to get you there. Hopefully I'm going to get you there. So the word in Scripture most often translated anxiety is a word that there's no way in the world I'm ever going to be able to pronounce, so I'm going to have them put it up on the screen. So y'all just need to go home and maybe look that word up. It's a lot harder than you think. You can try to think you know what that word is, but it's a difficult word to pronounce. But here's what it means. It means dwelling or pondering on fearful or anxious thoughts. It literally is an image of meditating on the negative. And when you really get into the word, it seems to me from what I've read and from what I understand about the word that it's learning to rest on. It's putting your weight on. It's meditating. It's staying on that negative thought. It's resting in, if you can rest, it's resting in that negative thought. In other words, some of us are literally training our brains to be anxious. We're training our brains to be anxious. We're training these neural pathways in our brain to focus on the negative. And it may be natural for some people to think on the negative. I think it's fairly natural when you're faced with a situation, it is, I think, pretty natural. In fact, I would think that it's good planning, right? When you think about everything that could go wrong and that you need to have a plan for what could go wrong, right? I've always said, you know, plan for the worst, and when the best happens, yay for us. But prayer is not natural. Prayer is supernatural. I told you it was supernatural because you can literally change the way you think. Prayer breaks the cycle of negative thinking. If, I should have underlined that, I didn't. I should have underlined that in my notes. If you're praying with the focus on truth and not the lies. And I'm just saying that we don't tend to focus on the truth. We tend to focus on the lies. Because in those moments, the lies don't seem like lies. So when the devil's, you know, pointing out your sin and telling you how sorry you are, you think, well, you know, it sounds right. But what you need is the truth of God's word so that God can tell you who you are in him. I'm just saying. Prayer should take our mind off what we're afraid of and put it on God, who has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind and of love. Prayer breaks the cycle. It changes your brain. And that's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. He started to focus on the truth. Then he says, oh God, will you not judge them? I just wonder, it's just me, I'm sick. I wonder if he paused and thought, and I'm waiting on an answer. Like, an answer would have been really good. Like, God said, yeah, I got you. For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do. You ever felt that way? Have you ever been in a situation where you are in way over your head, when you look in the mirror and you go, I know that I am teetotally powerless to do anything on my own. I have no backup plan. I don't know what to do. I am lost. I have learned in my life that oftentimes God will bring me to a point like that to show me how powerless I am, but to remind me of how powerful He is. I'm just saying. Here's what he says. Jehoshaphat says, I gotta be honest, God, we got no power. And I'm the king, and I'm supposed to have the answers, but I gotta be honest, I don't have a clue what we're gonna do. But then he says this, he says, but our eyes are on you. I gotta focus on you. In other words, he's saying to God, he said, you know what? I'm gonna have to put my eyes on you. I'm training my mind to think about you. I'm going to look at your character. I'm going to find out what the Bible says about your character. I want to hear from you. What does the Bible say? Who are you? I want to look at your character. I want to look at your nature. I want to look at your goodness. I want to look at your power. I'm choosing to believe that you're with me. I'm choosing to believe by faith that you're working all things, bringing about my good and your glory. So you pray. And it's not just prayer. It's not just whining in your prayers. But it's taking truth in your prayers. And it's praying in the power of God. Are you with me? So you pray, then what do? Well, then you jump in and you take control and you do something. That's what we normally do, right? Then we do something. Well, sometimes that's what you do. Sometimes that's what you do. And sometimes, I love this. This is awesome. This is going to set you free. Sometimes God will say, I just want you to stand. I just want you to stand, and I just want you to be still. It's all I want you to do. See, I just thought I'd get claps and woo, woo. Don't you think that's awesome? So we're praying, doing nothing. You can't get any better than this. We should sell this on the internet. You know what I'm saying? So we're praying and we're doing nothing, and God heals us of all of our anxiety. Well, sometimes He does. And sometimes it is instantaneous. Don't make any mistake about that. Do I believe that God can heal? Absolutely. God can heal anything, anytime He wants to. Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what your friends say. It doesn't matter what your neighbors say. It does not matter. God can do anything He wants to do. And I do love it. I do love it, and we've experienced that over the last year here. I had one friend in particular who had cancer, and the doctor said, you're going to die. And he was a medical guy, and he said, I know. We're going to give you a treatment that will give you a little bit better quality of life, maybe a little bit longer, but you're going to die. And then God healed him. He miraculously healed him, and the doctor that found the cancer went back and said, we can't find any evidence at all in your body that you ever had cancer. So God can do that. He can do that, but sometimes it's more of a process. And here's the way it works for me. And He's been doing this my whole life. God always directs me to a verse every single time. Springwell Church is founded on two passages of Scripture. Our name, Springwell, comes out of Genesis 26, just so you know. Every major decision I've had to make in my life, anytime I'm in a situation where I'm seeking out God, I say, God, if you just give me your word, because here's what I know. My emotions will be like a roller coaster. And some days I'm up here, yay, God, things look good, things are sweet. And then there's other days I'm down here and I'm going, oh, God, where are you? You're nowhere to be found. You're not showing up. But here's the thing. When I have a verse, when God speaks through His word, then it settles it for me. It just settles it. So we started our capital campaign, I don't know how many years ago that was. I got a really good memory. But here's what I know. I said, God, I'm going to need a verse. And so God gave me one. It was out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And He gave me a verse. And in that verse, here's what He said. He said, I'm going to generously provide everything that you need. I said, awesome. the money to pay off the debt? And he said, yeah, I'm going to take care of it. He said, but here's the reason why I'm going to bless you. So that you'll have everything that you need. And you'll be running over with blessings so that you have plenty left over to give other people. Awesome. But then there were times in the journey where, I got to be honest, it didn't look good. It just didn't look like we were going to make that goal. And then you know what God said? Because he's just God and he's just this way. And sometimes it irritates me. I'm just going to be honest. And so I'm thinking, okay, we started the last year, and I'm thinking we got till October. January came around, and I'm looking at October, and I'm thinking we're not going to hit the goal. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to move up the date. I said, excuse me? We need to delay the date, Lord. Sorry. Did I misunderstand? He said, no, I want you to move it up. I want you to push this thing for Easter. And I said, we're not going to make it by October. And you want me to drive it up to Easter? He said, yes. And we did. And so I made the announcement. I stood on the stage, if y'all remember, and I said, charge, let's go. And in my heart, I was going, ooh. I'm not kidding you. If you say, you got to have faith, my faith had pastor. I didn't have squat, but I had a verse. I had a verse. I had truth. So I made the announcement that day, and David, because he has to help me, he laid out all the ways that we were to give, and I had them written down, and I went through them, and then I laughed. First service I did, second service I did, I laughed, and I said, unless there's somebody out there that can just write us a check for $90,000. And just so you know, Monday morning, somebody wrote us a check for $90,000. Yeah, that was awesome. And I felt like in that moment that God said, na, 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 boo, boo. I said, that's awesome. Sometimes he'll give you a verse. Sometimes he'll direct you to change your diet. Oh, that wasn't any fun at all. Let's go back to the Bible, right? So that the full chemistry of your body just works better. Or maybe he'll lead you to a doctor that'll take the time to run some tests that will maybe show that chemical imbalance, and they'll write a prescription and they'll normalize the chemicals that are in your brain. Or maybe, just maybe, you need to dig deep into some counseling with a professional counselor that can look at the trauma that you've experienced in life. And they'll help you name it. They'll help you name it, and they'll help you face it and forgive it and heal from it. And sometimes it's in an instant, and sometimes it's a process. But let me tell you what I know. It always starts with God. God will direct you to a verse. God will lead you every step of the way. Sometimes it's bam, it's done. And other times it's a process. And so they waited. And while they waited, the Spirit of the Lord came on the priest. And here's what he said. Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. The battle's not yours. It's God's. Hello? I'm thinking, awesome. Awesome. But the next verse will trip you up. It tripped me up. Okay, I'm just being honest. He said, so tomorrow, I want you to march down against them. And I'm thinking, whoa, I'm supposed to stand at the house. Like maybe beside the refrigerator, you know? What? Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the gorge of the desert of Jeruel. You're not going to have to fight this battle. You're not going to have to fight this battle. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your positions. I want you to take your positions. Stand firm. And see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. In other words, don't just lay in the bed and wait. The beauty of what God does, even when he fights our battles, is he still calls us to the front line so that we can see with our own eyes. We can see what our God can do. Are y'all with me? I mean, I had to stand on the stage and say it. And it was a little nerve-wracking. It really was. And I'm thinking, we're not going to make October, and you want me to do it in April? Hello? You mean April next year? But then, see, when you stand out in faith, as scary as it is, and you're on the front line in the heat of battle, then you get to see the power and glory of God. It's pretty awesome. Then it says, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you'll be upheld. And have faith in his prophets, and you'll be successful. And then he paused, and he just did some really weird stuff. I'm thinking he's on his own the whole time right here. So what he decided to do, he sent out the worship team to the front lines. Dylan? So I'm thinking, sounds like a pretty good idea, you know. So literally he says, I want to put the praise band out front. And so I'm going to send to the heat of the battle, to the front line, I'm going to send out the praise band with their instruments. I don't know if they're supposed to swing the guitar. I mean, I don't, so play it. Are you with me? I'm sending Dwayne the Rock Johnson. But the worshipers went out and they started praising God before the victory. And here's the thing, by some miracle, I don't know what song they were playing, but by some miracle, the enemy forces that came to attack the people of Judah turned on each other. Could you imagine watching that? I just think that would be awesome. I mean, like they're cutting each other's heads off. I mean, yeah, wouldn't that be awesome? I probably shouldn't have said that. I just think it would be awesome. So you're standing there and you're just looking. I don't know what song they were playing. It must have been messed up. I don't know. Like their harmonies were off that day. I don't know what it was. But they started turning on each other. And they started with prayer. They stood and they waited on God's direction. And then they praised God before the victory. I guess what I've learned in my life, and again, I said it earlier, I've got to do this when God gives it to me. I want to do a series on gratitude, and out of gratitude comes praise. You can't help it. It's just going to overflow, and I wish I could share some stuff. Karen and I experienced the most amazing vacation just a few weeks ago. Oh, my gosh. God showed up every single day, and I cried, and I know that's no big deal, right? I'd cried a watermelon slicing, so that's not a big deal. But she cried too, didn't you, baby? Tell them. Go ahead, stand up right now and say, I cried. You're on your own. It takes faith when you're hurting and you're feeling anxious now, when you don't know what to do now, when you don't see a way out now. It takes faith to praise before the blessing. It takes faith to praise before the anxiety is gone. I want to show you the result of the praying and the standing and the praising. Verse 29, the fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Man, could you imagine the word on the street? I mean, all the countries surrounding Israel, they were going, dude, don't mess with them. Like, they've got the worst praise band in history. I mean, it's awful. And their music is so twisted, it messes with your head. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat, oh, this is so sweet, was at peace. Before they had been what? Terrified, alarmed, anxious. But now they're at peace. For his God had given him what? Isn't that what some of you are looking for? You just want some rest. You want some rest because you can't sleep because you're so anxious. There's so much turmoil inside. I told y'all last week about how I hit a wall a few years ago. I get tickled at myself. I wrote this, I don't know, weeks ago. That's what I wrote, literally. I told y'all last week how I hit a wall. That's better than saying I had a breakdown. But that's what I had. I had a breakdown. And so I took some time off, and I thought I'd learned some things, and I came back, and I hit another wall. In other words, I had breakdown number two. And so obviously I hadn't learned how to fight my battles the first time. And I can't tell you how I felt. I felt like a loser. I'm a loser pastor. I'm a loser. I don't have enough faith. what I'm doing is not working. I'm trying to put the wheels back on the old church bus, and I get one on and another one falls off. And I wanted to quit. I remember actually calling a headhunter. I met him for lunch one day. I said, "You got to find me a job." He looked at me and he said, "What do you think you're going to do?" "I don't know. I just know I can't do this anymore. I'm wore out." So I took 6 weeks off. And things changed. Radically changed in my life. And I came back a different person. I remember sharing with the church that day. I spent probably 4 or 5 weeks just walking y'all through what I experienced during that 6 weeks of one day in particular. People say that God doesn't speak in an audible voice. I was walking down the beach, minding my own business. And what I heard was an audible voice in my ear. And it was a whisper. "I love you." Man, it broke me. I came back, stood on the stage, and I said, "I know why I got in the ministry. I forgot. It's because of what God has done for me." And I told the church at that time, I said, "I love being your pastor. I do. But if I felt like that being the pastor of this church would rob me of this relationship with God, I'll quit today. I'll walk out that door laughing, knowing we're going to lose everything we got. I won't have a way to pay for it. And I don't care." So I came back different, and I set a very specific time early in the morning, and I pressed deep, 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 deep into my prayer life. I know, I get up at a stupid time. Why do I get up so early? Because nothing can interfere. Who's going to call you at 4 o'clock in the morning? You know what I'm saying? I just hang out with Jesus. I just hang out with him. I need him. Oh, I need him. And he meets with me. He still talks to me. I decided that nothing is more important to me than being as close to Jesus as I can possibly be. I am no use to you as a pastor if I'm not walking with him. If I can't be as close to him as I know how to be. So I set a time early in the morning to pray and hear from God. I do a devotional thing every morning, early. I do different things. I spend a very solid, deliberate time with God. And I can look at you and I can tell you that God has given me peace and he's given me rest. I am not the same person I used to be. And I changed my diet. And you're thinking, you could have left that part out. I did. Honestly, I had to get healthy. And so food did make a big difference, really. Food and exercise does make a difference. I'm sold on it. I believe that it helps your mental health. I pray, I talk to God. I've learned to thank him and to praise him and to be grateful for what hasn't even happened yet. So I really kind of debated. I thought, how do we give an invitation? What do I say? And this might be kind of difficult, but I think that we're in a safe place. And so I just want to ask the question right now. How many of you would just say, "You know what? I struggle with anxiety." I mean, could you do that even in a crowded room? Wow. And for those of you that just slipped up your hand, you know what? You may be in a better place than the person that's behind you or in front of you that couldn't even raise their hand. And yet that's where they are. Somehow, as the church, we've beat people up for the very things that the men of God and women of God in Scripture struggled with. How are we ever going to get better if we don't acknowledge it? And then begin to look at the truth of Scripture and to say, how do I find healing? I pray. I stand. And I learn how to praise. That reminds me how good He is. Let me go back. So I wrote this down. The power of gratitude. The more thankful I am, the more I realize I have to be thankful for. It's crazy. Suddenly you start to see these little bitty things. And if I told y'all what they were, you'd look at me and say, really? Boy, you have a sad life. A parking space. I mean, I threatened to kill people over parking spaces. So Jesus was not in the moment. I'm just saying. I told him, I'm fixing to let you meet Jesus. But suddenly to say, God, do you know what? Do you order my day? And you look out for the little bitty things that maybe seem silly to everybody else. I want to pray for you if you're struggling. Father, I want to lift up these folks, Lord, some that raised their hand and some, Lord, that they couldn't. Maybe there's too much shame or guilt. Maybe physically they didn't even have the strength. Lord, will you help us? Lord, I do pray that you've been able to take my words today and plant those deep into the hearts of people so they can walk away with some things that they can do. We can change how we think, Lord. You designed that. And Lord, the miracle that you may work in the lives of many of our folks will not be to change their circumstance, but will be to change them. So I'll lift them up and pray for them. For some of you this morning, you are anxious and you are overwhelmed, and honestly, it's with life. And you are experiencing guilt and shame because of your own sin. And maybe you don't feel like you're even worthy enough to come to God. That's a lie. Here's what I want you to know, is that God so desires to have a relationship with you that He paved the way for the relationship to happen. So God sent His Son, Jesus. And Jesus willingly went to a cross, died on a cross, shed His blood on a cross, the most hideous, painful death that you could imagine, to pay the penalty for our sin. On the third day He was raised from the dead, He's alive. And this morning what He wants to do is to step into your life. You don't have to clean it up. You don't have to try to be better, to do better. He wants to step into your life right now, if you'll let Him. If you're not a follower of Jesus and you'd like to be, then maybe you'd pray a prayer or something like this. That you just say, Lord, I need you. I'm desperate for you. Forgive me of my sin. I'm a sinner. And I bring you my sin, and I bring you all of my anxious thoughts and my fears. And I lay them at your feet. And by faith, the intent of my heart is to fully surrender my life to you. I ask for forgiveness. And I desire to make you the master and put you in charge and put you in control. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy and for your grace. It's in Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.